Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and fine gentlemen, we are live on time. We have not been late for any of these daily streams. Day number 14, and we're on time here again. Welcome to the broadcast. Thank you guys for joining me. We're going to be reading through the Bible in 90 days. That's why the title is called 90 Day Bible Challenge. Every single day we're live at 2 o'clock reading. So load in as we get started. We are doing today. Hello, Estella. Appreciate you. I cherish my sister. We have the same mother and father. Deuteronomy 8 to Deuteronomy 23. That's a lot, but it's okay. It's going to be great. Going to be great. Hello, 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 everyone. You know, we got people falling off, but it's okay. We're going to keep pushing. I get it. We're going through Leviticus, Deuteronomy. People were all excited in Genesis. Y'all were excited when God was making people, making animals. And then all of a sudden, God starts telling people, don't shave this, don't shave that, don't allow bodily discharges here or there, and everyone just starts dropping off. But we'll get them back. We'll get them back. We're getting into some exciting stuff here. It's going to be a great time today. So let's get started. Did I say we're going to 23? I don't know why I never could remember where to stop it. I have to always keep looking at the app. We're using the YouVersion Life Church Bible app. If you don't know, now you know. That's what it looks like. Day 14, Deuteronomy 8 to 23. 8 to 23, and I hope that's right. That has to be right. Yeah. That has to be right. That's today. Yeah. 8 to 23. All right. Let's see. Okay. Let's get started here. I should probably hit start recording. That'll help. All right. Still here? Praise the Lord. Type 1 if you're still here. Oh, I should pull up my Bible too. I'm a little discombobulated here today. Thank you guys for praying for Alyssa. Her surgery went amazing. She's recovering well. So I really appreciate all you guys' prayers and all of that. We appreciate it. Okay. We got the remnant. The remnant's still here. It's all good. We're here. Okay, chapter 8. Be careful to obey. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8. Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you'll live and multiply, and you'll enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Remember, the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all those 40 years, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. I mean, this is preaching. I don't even have to preach here. This is just preaching itself. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It's a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It's a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It's a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you've eaten your full, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the land he has given you. But this is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands. When you get the new house, when you get the new car, when you get married, when you have kids, do not forget the Lord your God. Highlight that in your Bible. And disobey his commands and decrees I'm giving you today. For when you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herd have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud, and at that time, forget the Lord your God who rescued you from the slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was hot and dry, and he gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I've achieved this wealth by my own strength and energy. Remember, the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed by your ancestors with an oath. That's so good. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, You will also be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. Oh, this is so good. Chapter 9. Listen, O Israel. Today you're about to cross the Jordan River to take the land belonging to nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach to the sky. The people are strong and tall, descendants of the famous Anakite giants. You've heard the saying, who can stand up to the Anakites? But recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. He will subdue them, so you'll quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as the Lord has promised. And after the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say in your hearts, the Lord has given us this land because we're such good people. No, it's because of the wickedness of the other nations that he's pushing them out of your way. It's not because you're so good or you have such integrity that you're about to occupy their land. The Lord your God will drive these nations out of you, drive these nations out ahead of you only because of their wickedness and to fulfill the oath he swore to your ancestor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You must recognize that the Lord your God is not giving you this land because you're good. For you are not. You are a stubborn people. So we just wanted you to know that God's not blessing you because you're good. It's actually, you're not good. That's nice of you. Thank you. Remember and never forget how angry you made the Lord in the wilderness. From the day you left Egypt until now, you've been constantly rebelling against him. Even at Mount Sinai, you made the Lord so angry he was ready to destroy you. This happened when I was on the mountain receiving the tablets of stone inscribed with the words of the covenant that the Lord had made with you. Had made with you, yes. I was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and all that time I ate no food and drank no water. The Lord gave me these two tablets in which God had written with his own finger all the words he's spoken to you from the heart of the fire when you were assembled at the mountain. At the end of the 40 days and nights, the Lord handed me the two stone tablets inscribed with the words of the covenant. Then the Lord God said to me, get up and go down immediately, for the people you brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. How quickly, this is a word, have they turned away from the way I've commanded them to live. They have melted gold and made idols for themselves. The Lord has said to me, I've seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Leave me alone so I may destroy them and erase their name from under heaven. Then I'll make a mighty nation of your descendants, a nation larger and more powerful than they are. So while the mountain was blazing with fire, I turned and came down, holding in my hands the two stone tablets inscribed the terms of the covenant. There below me, I could see that you sinned against the Lord your God. You had melted gold and made a calf idol for yourselves. How quickly you've turned away from the path the Lord has commanded you to follow. So I took the stone tablets and I threw them to the ground, smashing them before your eyes. Then as before, I threw myself down before the Lord for 40 days and nights. I ate no bread and drank no water because of the great sin you committed by doing what the Lord hated, provoking him to anger. I feared that the blazing furries. No furries. Oh, now I almost said the furries anger of the Lord. I feared that the furious anger of the Lord, which turned him against you, would drive him to destroy you. But again, he listened to me. The Lord was so angry with Aaron that he wanted to destroy him too. But I prayed for Aaron and the Lord spared him. I took your sin, the calf you made, and I melted it down in the fire and ground it into fine dust. Then I threw the dust in the stream that flows down the mountain. Remember that they had to drink the golden calf smoothies? You guys remember that? You also made the Lord angry at Taberah, Massa, and Kibroth Hattaavah. And at Kadesh Barnea, the Lord sent you out with this command. Go up and take over the land I've given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you refused to put your trust in him and obey him. Yes, you've been rebelling against the Lord as long as I've known you. Man, they are getting rebuked. Like, bro, you've literally been bad. You are a bad boy. That is why I threw myself down before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, for the Lord said he will destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, do not destroy them. They are your own people and they're your special possession, whom you redeemed from Egypt by your mighty power and your strong hand. Please overlook the stubbornness and the awful sin of these people and remember instead your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you destroy these people, like the Egyptians will say, the Israelites died because the Lord wasn't able to bring them to the land he had promised to give them. Or they might say, he destroyed them because he hated them. He deliberately took them into the wilderness to slaughter them. But they are your people and your special possession, whom you brought out of Egypt by your great strength and powerful arm. Chapter 10, a new copy of the covenant. At that time, the Lord said to me, Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. Also make a wooden ark, a sacred chest to store them in, and come up to me on the mountain. And I'll write on the tablets the same words that were on the ones you smashed. Then place the tablets in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood and cut 2 stone tablets like the first two. Then I went up the mountain with the tablets in my hand. Once again, the Lord wrote the 10 commandments on the tablets and gave them to me. They are the same words the Lord spoke to you from the heart of the fire on the day you were assembled at the foot of the mountain. Then I returned and came down the mountain and placed the tablets in the ark of the covenant, which I had made, just as the Lord had commanded me. And the tablets are still there in the ark. The people of Israel set out from the wells of the people of Jachin and traveled to Moserah, where Aaron died and was buried. His son Eleazar ministered as high priest in this place. Then they journeyed to Gudgadah. And from there to, Jotbatha, a land with brooks and streams. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the Lord's covenant and stand before the Lord as his ministers and pronounce blessings in his name. These are their duties to this day. That is why the Levites have no share of property or possession of the land among the Israelite tribes. The Lord himself is their special possession, the Lord their God told them. As for me, I stayed on the mountain in the Lord's presence for 40 days and 40 nights as I'd done the first time. And once again, the Lord listened to my pleas and agreed not to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, get up and resume the journey and lead the people to the land I swore to give their ancestors so they may take possession of it. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. Highlight that in your Bible. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Look. The highest heavens and the earth and everything in it, it all belongs to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as an object of his love, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the other nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being so stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He's the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. And so you, too, must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once the foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oath must be in his name alone. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. When your ancestors went down into Egypt, there were only 70 of them. But now the Lord your God has made them numerous as the stars in the sky. Chapter 11. You must love the Lord your God and always obey his requirements, decrees, regulations, and commands. Keep in mind that I'm not talking now to your children who have never experienced the discipline of the Lord your God or seen his greatness or his strong hand and powerful arm. They didn't see the miraculous signs and wonders he performed in Egypt against Pharaoh and all this land. They didn't see that the Lord did to the armies of Egypt, to their horses and chariots, how he drowned them in the Red Sea as they were chasing you. He destroyed them, and they've not recovered to this very day. Your children didn't see how the Lord cared for you in the wilderness until you arrived here. They didn't see what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, a descendant of Reuben, when the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the Israelite camp, along with their households and tents and every living thing that belonged to them. But you have seen the Lord perform all these mighty deeds with your own eyes. Therefore, be careful to obey every command I'm giving you today so that you might have strength to go in and take over the land you're about to enter. If you obey, you'll enjoy a long life in the land of the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors and to you, their descendants, and a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land you're about to enter and take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you planted your seed and made irrigation ditches with your foot as in a vegetable garden. Rather, the land you'll soon take over is a land of hills and valleys with plenty of rain, a land that the Lord your God cares for. He watches over it through every season of the year. If you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he'll send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and late rains, so you can bring in the harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture land for your livestock, and you yourselves will have all you want to eat. But be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord your God and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest. Then you will quickly die in that good land the Lord is giving you. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. This is like so good. We should be talking about the Lord in our house. Talk about the Lord. Teach them to your kids. If you're not talking about the Lord, what are we really doing? Write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Be careful to obey all these commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Then the Lord will drive out all the nations ahead of you that are much greater and stronger than you, and you'll take their land. Wherever you set your foot, that land will be yours. Your frontiers will stretch from the wilderness in the south of Lebanon to Lebanon, and the north and from the Euphrates River in the east of the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And no one will be able to stand against you, for the Lord your God will cause the people to fear and dread you, excuse me, as he promised, wherever you go in the whole land. Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. Today you'll be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. But you'll be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship the gods you have not known before. When the Lord your God brings you in the land that helps you take possession of it, you must pronounce the blessing at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal. These mountains are west of the Jordan River in the land of the Canaanites who live in the Jordan Valley near the town of Gilgal, not from the oaks of Moreh. For you're about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you take that land and you're living in it, you must be careful to obey all the decrees and regulations I'm giving you today. I feel the power of God. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Chapter 12. These are the decrees and regulations you must be careful to obey when you live in the land the Lord your God and your ancestors is giving you. You must obey them as long as you live. When you drive out the nations that live there, you must destroy all the places they worship their gods, high on the mountains, up on the hills, and under every green tree. Break down their altars and smash their sacred pillars. Burn their Asherah poles and cut down their carved idols. Completely erase the names of their gods. Do not worship the Lord your God in the way that these pagans worship their gods. Rather, you must seek the Lord your God at the place of worship he himself will choose among all the tribes, the place where his name will be honored. There you will bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your sacred offerings, your offerings to fulfill a vow, your voluntary offerings, and your offerings of the firstborn animals of your herds and flocks. There you and your families will feast in the presence of the Lord your God, and you'll rejoice in all you've accomplished because the Lord your God has blessed you. Your pattern of worship will change. Today, all of you are doing as you please because you've not yet arrived at the place of rest, the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession. But you'll soon cross the Jordan River and live in the land the Lord your God is giving you. When he gives you rest from all your enemies and you're living safely in the land, you must bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your sacred offerings, your offerings to fulfill a vow, to the designated place of worship the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. You must celebrate there in the presence of the Lord your God with your sons and daughters and all your servants. And remember to include the Levites who live in your towns, for they will receive no allotment of land among you. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings just anywhere you like. You may only do so on the place the Lord You may do so only at the place the Lord will choose. That's what I meant to say. Within one of your tribal territories. There you must offer your burnt offerings and do everything I command you. But you may butcher your animals and eat their meat in any town whenever you want. You may freely eat the animals with the Lord your God blesses you. All of you, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat that meat just as you now eat gazelle and deer. But you must not consume blood. You must pour it out on the ground like water. But you may not eat your offerings in your hometown, neither the tithe of your grain, new wine, olive oil, nor the firstborn of your flocks and herds, nor any offerings to fulfill a vow, nor your voluntary offerings, nor your sacred offerings. You must eat these in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose. Eat them there with your children, your servants, and the Levites who live in your towns, celebrating in the presence of the Lord your God in all you do. And be very careful never to neglect the Levites as long as you live in your land. When the Lord your God expands your territory as he has promised and you have the urge to eat meat, you may freely eat meat whenever you want. All of you vegans, just close your eyes right here. All the vegans, just don't look at this. It may happen that the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, is a long way from your home. If so, you may butcher any of the cattle the goats, the sheep has given you, and you may freely eat the meat in your hometown as I've commanded you. If you're vegan, just go ahead and mute me for just a little bit. Anyone, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat the meat just as you now do with gazelle and deer. But never consume the blood, for the blood is the life, and you must not consume the lifeblood with the meat. Instead, pour out the blood on the ground like water. Don't consume the blood so that all may go well with you and your children after you. because you'll be doing what pleases the Lord. Take your sacred gifts and your offerings given to fulfill the vow to the place the Lord chooses. You must offer the meat and blood of your burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord your God. The blood of your other sacrifices must be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God, but you may eat the meat. Be careful to obey all the commands so that it will go well with you and your children and after you, because you'll be doing what is good and pleasing to the Lord your God. When the Lord your God goes ahead of you and destroys the nations and drives them out and live in their land, do not fall into the trap of following their customs and worshiping their gods. Do not inquire about their gods, saying, "How do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example." You must not worship the Lord your God the way the other nations worship their gods, for they perform for their gods every detestable act that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters and sacrifices to their gods. So be careful to obey all the commands I give you. You must not add anything to them or subtract anything from them. Chapter 13. Suppose there's prophets among you, or those who dream dreams about the future, and they promise you signs or miracles, and the predicted signs or miracles occur. If they then say, "Come, let us worship other gods, gods you've not known before," do not listen to them. The Lord your God is testing you to see if you truly love him with all your heart. Serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. Obey his commands and listen to his voice and cling to him. So God will raise up false prophets and allow their false prophecies to happen to see if you're going to follow false prophets and worship other gods. That's interesting there. The false prophets or visionaries who try to lead you astray must be put to death. I mean, there's a few YouTubers that are like that. What? For they encourage rebellion against the Lord your God, who redeemed you from slavery and brought you out from the land of Egypt. Since they try to lead you astray from the way the Lord your God commanded you to live, you must put them to death. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you. Now, I don't think we should put them to death today, but there's a lot of false prophets that are teaching and preaching things and trying to lead you astray. Let's just say that. Suppose someone secretly entices you, even your brother, your son, or your daughter, or your beloved wife, or your closest friend, and says, "Let us go worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known." They might suggest that you worship the gods of peoples who live nearby or come from the ends of the earth, but do not give in or listen. And guys, this is all still happening today. I did a video recently on idolatry. Idol worship is very real. It's very relevant. The greatest idol we probably all have is this thing. The cell phone is a huge idol. So yeah, this is all relevant still. All right. Do not give in or listen. Have no pity and do not spare or protect them. You must put them to death. Strike the first blow yourself and let all the people, and then all the people must join in. And you guys are like, "Isaiah, you're preaching so harsh." Have you read the Old Testament before? Stone the guilty ones to death because they tried to draw you away from the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of slavery. Then all of Israel will hear about it and be afraid, and no one will act so wickedly again. When you begin living in the towns the Lord your God is giving you, you may hear that scoundrels among you are leading their fellow citizens astray by saying, "Let us go worship other gods, gods you've not known before." In such case, you must examine the facts carefully. If you find that the report is true and such a detestable act has been committed among you, you must attack that town and completely destroy all of its inhabitants as well as the livestock. Then you must pile all the plunder in the middle of the square and burn it. Burn the entire town as a burnt offering to the Lord your God. That town must remain a ruin forever. It may never be rebuilt. Keep none of the plunder that has been set apart for destruction. Then the Lord will turn from his fierce anger and be merciful to you. He'll have compassion on you and make you a large nation, just as you swore to your ancestors. The Lord your God will be merciful only if you listen to his voice and keep all his commands I'm giving you, doing what pleases him. Now, I know people are like, how could the Lord be so harsh and, you know, tell people to kill each other and destroy towns? And this gets people off their faith. This gets people very confused and people turn from God because of chapters like this. But here's my thought. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. How are you going to tell God he can't do what he wants? If God destroyed half the earth right now, he's God. He's just. Why does God have to be like you? Well, that sounds so harsh. I would never serve a God like that. Okay, well, keep serving yourself then. That's fine. I never have ever read the Bible and been in unbelief. Like, I don't know if I could serve a God like this. That's never happened. Because I'm like, you're God. I'm not. Your ways are above my ways. And you can literally do whatever you want. God does not have any rules that he has to play by. So I know, like, emotionally we're like, oh, this is so harsh, but he's God alone. He doesn't need our opinion or our approval. He's just. And of course, this is old covenant, but still, if God, go read the book of Revelation. There's going to be a lot of death coming. Chapter 14. Since you're the people of the Lord your God, of your God, never cut yourselves or shave your head above your foreheads in mourning for the dead. You've been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. You must not eat any detestable animal that are ceremonially unclean. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the wingstop, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the addix, the antelope, the Chick-fil-A, and the mountain sheep. You may eat any animal that has completely split hooves and chews the cud. But if the animal doesn't have both, it may not be eaten. So you may not eat the camel, the hare, or the hyrax. They chew the cud but don't have split hooves, so they're unclean. Oh, here we go. We've been here before. I've seen this movie. We did this in Leviticus. You may not eat the pig. It has split hooves but does not chew the cud, so it's unclean for you. You may not eat the meat of these animals or even touch their carcasses. Of all the marine animals, you may eat whatever has both fins and scales. You may not, however, eat marine animals that do not have both fins and scales. They're ceremonially unclean for you. You may eat any bird that is ceremonially clean. These are the birds you may not eat: the griffin, the vulture, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon, the buzzards, the ravens, the eagle owl, the short-eared owl, the seagull. Yeah, don't be eating seagulls. Ugh. Hawks of all kinds. I had a friend that ate a seagull and got very, very sick. He was in another country. The little owl, the great owl, the barn owl, the desert owl, the Egyptian vulture, the cormorant, the stork, carl, herons of all kinds, the hoopoe, and the bat. All winged insects that walk along the ground and are ceremonially unclean for you and may not be eaten. But you may eat winged birds or insects that are ceremonially clean. You must not eat anything that has died a natural death. You may give it to a foreigner living in your town, or you may sell it to a stranger. But do not eat it for yourselves, for you are set apart as holy for the Lord your God. You must not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. You must set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all your crops you harvest each year. Bring the tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithes, grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Now, when the Lord your God blesses you with good harvest, the place of worship he chooses for his name to be honored might be too far for you to bring the tithe. If so, you may sell the tithe portion of your crops and herds and put the money in a pouch and go to the place the Lord your God has chosen. When you arrive, you may use the money to buy any kind of food you want: cattle, sheep, goats, wine, or any other alcoholic drink. Then feast there in the presence of the Lord your God and celebrate with your household. And do not neglect the Levites in your town, for they will receive no allotment or land among you. At the end of every third year, bring the entire tithe of that year's harvest and store it in the nearest town. Give it to the Levites, who will receive no allotment of land among you, as well as the foreigners living among you, the orphans and the widows in your towns, so they can eat there and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. All right, chapter 15. At the end of every seventh year, you must cancel the debts of everyone who owes you money. This is how it must be done. Everyone must cancel the loans they have made to their fellow Israelites. They must not demand payment from their neighbors or relatives, for the Lord's time of release has arrived. This release from debt, however, applies only to your fellow Israelites, not to the foreigners living among you. There should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless the land he's giving you as a special possession. You will receive this blessing if you're careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The Lord your God will bless you as he's promised, and you'll lend money to many nations, but will never need to borrow. You'll rule many nations, but they will not rule over you. But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year of canceling debt is close at hand. That's crazy. You can literally get a loan a month before 7 year and they have to remove it. That's crazy. If you refuse to make the loan, the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Whoa. So you literally have to loan if somebody asks you for a loan. So like, imagine a month before the 7 years, everybody's just asking for loans and you have to do it or you're guilty of sin. Thank you, Lord, that we're not in this covenant anymore. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. That's why I'm commanding you to share with the poor and with other Israelites in need. If a fellow Hebrew sells himself or herself to be a servant and serves you for 6 years, in the seventh year, you must set the servant free. So this is basically just a repeat of exactly what we read in Leviticus. When you release a male servant, do not send him away empty-handed. Give him a generous farewell gift from your flock or your threshing floor and your wine press, and share with him some of your bounty with which the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were once slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you, and that's why I'm giving you this command. But suppose your servant says, I will not leave you because he loves you and your family and has done well with you. In that case, take the awl and push it through his earlobe into the door. After that, he'll be your servant for life, and do the same for your female servants. You must not consider it a hardship when you release your servants. Remember that for 6 years, they've given you service for worth double the wages of hired workers, and the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. You must set aside for the Lord your God all the firstborn males from your flocks and herds. Do not use the firstborn of your herds or flocks or your fields, and do not shear the firstborn of your flocks. Instead, you and your family must eat these animals in the presence of the Lord your God each year at the place he chooses. But if this firstborn animal has any defect, such as lameness or blindness or anything else that is wrong with it, you must not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Instead, use it for food for your family in your hometown. Anyone, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat it, just as anyone may eat a gazelle or deer. But you must not consume the blood. You must pour it out on the ground like water. Chapter 16. In honor of the Lord your God, celebrate the Passover each year in the early spring, in the month of Abib, for that is the month in which the Lord your God has brought you into Egypt by night. Your Passover sacrifice may be from either the flock or your herd, and it must be sacrificed to the Lord your God at the designated place of worship the Lord chooses for his name to be honored. Eat with bread made without yeast. For 7 days, the bread you must eat may be made without yeast, as when you escape from Egypt in such a hurry. Eat this bread, the bread of suffering, so that you, as long as you'll be remembered the day you departed from Egypt. Let no yeast be found in any house throughout the land for those 7 days. And when you sacrifice the Passover lamb on the evening of the first day, do not let any of the meat remain until the next morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover in just any of the towns that the Lord your God has given you. You must offer it only on the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Sacrifice it there in the evening as the sun goes down on the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt. Roast the lamb and eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses. Then you may go back to your tents the next morning. For the next 6 days, you may not eat any bread made with yeast. On the seventh day, proclaim another holy day in honor of the Lord your God, and no work may be done on that day. Count off 7 weeks from when you first begin to cut the grain at the time of harvest. Then celebrate the harvest to honor the Lord your God. Bring him, you guys are making me laugh in the chat. Bring him a voluntary offering in proportion to the blessings you've received from him. This is the time to celebrate before the Lord your God, the designated place of worship he'll choose for you for his name to be honored. Celebrate with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites from your towns, and the foreigners, orphans, and widows who live among you. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, so be careful to obey all these decrees. You must observe, I think this is word for word Leviticus, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody can let me know, but I'm pretty sure it is. You must observe the Festival of Shelters for 7 days at the end of the harvest season after the grain has been threshed and the grapes have been pressed. This festival, wait, did that rhyme? After the grain has been threshed and the grapes have been pressed. Somebody needs to make a rap out of that. This festival will be a happy time of celebrating with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows from your towns. For 7 days, you must celebrate this festival to honor the Lord your God at the place he chooses. For it's he who blesses you with bountiful harvest and gives you success in all your work, and this festival will be a time of great joy for you. Each year, every man in Israel must celebrate these three festivals, unleavened bread, the festivals of harvest, and the festival of shelters. On each of these occasions, all men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he chooses, but they must not appear before the Lord without a gift for him. All must give as they're able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord their God. Thank you, Daniel. I'm glad you like being here. I like being here too. Verse 18, appoint judges and officials for yourselves from each of your tribes in all your towns the Lord your God is giving you. They may judge the people fairly, must. You must never twist justice or show partiality. Never accept a bribe, or for bribes blind the eyes of the wise and corrupt the decisions of the godly. I cannot wait to get to Proverbs. When are we going to get to Proverbs? Somebody let me know what day. Let true justice prevail so you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You must never set up a wooden Asherah pole beside the altar you build for the Lord your God. You may never set up sacred pillars for worship, for the Lord your God hates them. Chapter 17. Never sacrifice sick or defective camel, sheep, or goats to the Lord your God, for he detests these gifts. When you begin living in the towns the Lord your God is giving you, a man or woman among you might do evil in the sight of the Lord your God and violate the covenant. For instance, they might serve other gods or worship the sun, the moon, or any of the stars, or the forces of heaven, which I've strictly forbidden. When you hear about it, investigate the matter thoroughly. If it's true that these detestable things have been done in Israel, the man... Excuse me. So crazy, isn't like the whole Bible two genders here? I love that. It's just interesting here. Whenever the man or woman who has committed such an evil act must be taken to the gates of the town and stoned to death. But never put a person to death on the testimony of only one witness. There must always be two or three witnesses. The witnesses must throw the first stone, and then all the people may join in, and this way you'll purge the evil from among you. Suppose a case arises in a local court that is too hard for you to decide. For instance, whether someone is guilty of murder or only of manslaughter, or a difficult lawsuit, or a case involving different kinds of assault. Take such legal cases to the place the Lord your God will choose, and present them to the Levitical priest or the judge on duty at the time. They'll hear the case and declare the verdict. You must carry out the verdict they announce and the sentence they prescribe at the place the Lord your God chooses. You must do exactly what they say. After they've interpreted the law and declared their verdict, the sentence they impose must fully be executed. Do not modify it in any way. March 18th. Oh man, we got a long way to go. It's okay, we'll get there. I'm excited for Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. Anyone arrogant enough to reject the verdict of the judge or the priest who represents the Lord your God must die. And this way you'll purge the evil from Israel. Then everyone else will hear about it and be afraid to act so arrogantly. You're about to enter the land your God is giving you. When you take it over and settle there, you may think, we should select a king to rule over us like the other nations around us. If this happens, be sure to select as king the man the Lord your God chooses. You must appoint a fellow Israelite. He may not be a foreigner. The king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself or send his people to Egypt. Spitting all over the place. Send his people to Egypt to buy horses. For the Lord has said, you must never return to Egypt. Somebody highlight that in their Bible. You must never return to Egypt. I think in Joshua, we start Joshua on Sunday. I'm just excited to be out of the laws and rules and stuff because it's hard to read. But yeah, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It's the Bible. Every part of it is good. Every word, every spot. The king must not take any wives for himself because they will turn his heart away from the Lord. And he must not accumulate large amounts of wealth and silver and gold for himself. Ooh. When he sits on the throne as a king, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. He must always keep that copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. That way he'll learn to fear the Lord, his God, by obeying all the terms of these instructions and decrees. This regular reading will prevent him from being a proud and acting as if he's above his fellow citizen. It'll also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way, and it'll ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel. Chapter 18. Remember that the Levitical priests, that is, the whole tribe of Levi, will receive no allotment of land among the other tribes in Israel. Instead, the priests and Levites will eat from special gifts given to the Lord, for that is their share. They will have no land of their own among the Israelites. The Lord himself is their special possession, just as he promised them. These are the parts the priests may claim as their share from the cattle, sheep, and goats that the people bring as offerings, the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach. You may also give the priest the first share of grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and the wool at shearing time. For the Lord your God chose the tribe of Levi out of all the tribes to minister to the Lord's name forever. Suppose a Levite chooses to move from his town in Israel where he lives to the place the Lord chooses for worship. He may minister there in the name of the Lord his God, but like all his fellow Levites who are serving the Lord there. He may eat his share of the sacrifices and offerings, even if he also receives support from his family. When you enter the land your Lord God is giving you, be careful not to imitate the detestable customs of their nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your sons or daughters as burnt offering. And do not let your people practice fortune telling, or use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. Preach. That's what I've been trying to say. People are like, stop talking about that, Isaiah. It's in the Bible. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you're about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do these things. Excuse me. Moses continued, The Lord your God will raise up for a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what the Lord has requested. This is what you yourselves requested of the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. You said, don't let us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore or see this blazing fire, for we will die. Then the Lord said to me, what they have said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth and he'll tell the people everything I command him. I will personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the messages the prophet proclaims on my behalf. But any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name or speaks in the name of another God must die. But you may wonder, how will we know whether or not the prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name and his prediction does not happen or come true, you'll know that the Lord did not give this message. That prophet has spoken without any authority and does not need to be feared. Chapter 19. When the Lord your God destroys nations whose land he is giving you, you will take over their land and settle in their towns and homes. Then you must set apart three cities of refuge in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Survey the territory and divide the land the Lord your God is giving you into three districts, with one of these cities in each district. Then anyone who has killed someone can flee to one of these cities of refuge for safety. If someone kills another person unintentionally without previous hostility, the slayer may flee to any of these cities to live in safety. For example, suppose someone goes in the forest with a neighbor to cut wood, and suppose one of them swings an axe to chop down a tree and the axe flies off the handle and kills the other person. In that case, the slayer must flee to one of the cities of refuge to live in safety. If the distance to the nearest city of refuge is too far, an enraged avenger might be able to chase down and kill the person who caused the death. Then the slayer would die unfairly, since he had never shown hostility toward the person who died. That is why I'm commanding you to set aside three cities of refuge. And if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your ancestors, and gives you all the land he promised them, you must designate three additional cities of refuge. He will give you this land if you're careful to obey all the commands I've given you. If you always love the Lord your God and walk in his ways, that will prevent the death of innocent people in the land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. You will not be held responsible for the death of innocent people. But suppose someone is hostile toward a neighbor and deliberately ambushes and murders him and then flees to one of the cities of refuge. In that case, the elders of the murderer's hometown must send agents to the city of refuge to bring him back and hand him over to the dead person's avenger to be put to death. Do not feel sorry for that murderer. Purge from Israel the guilt of murdering innocent people, then all will go well with you. When you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, you must never steal anyone's land by moving the boundary markers your ancestors set up to mark their property. You must not convict anyone of crime in the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness comes forward and accuses someone of a crime, then both the accuser and the accused must appear before the Lord by coming to the priest and judge in office at the time. The judges must investigate the case thoroughly. If the accuser has brought false charges against his fellow Israelite, you must impose on the accuser the sentence he intended for the other person. In this way, you'll purge the evil from among you. Then the rest of the people will hear about it and be afraid to do such an evil thing. You must show no pity for the guilty. Your rule should be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. All right, we're getting there. Chapter 20. When you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt is with you. When you prepare for battle, the priest must come forward to speak to the troops. He will say to them, listen to me, all you men of Israel. Do not be afraid as you go out and fight your enemies today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is going with you. He'll fight for you and against your enemies, and he'll give you victory. Then the officers of the army must address the troops has anyone here just built a new house and has not yet dedicated it? If so, you may go home. You might be killed in the battle and someone else will dedicate your house. If you guys are like, I'm lost, I am too. Has anyone here planted a vineyard but not eaten any of its fruit? If so, you may go home. You might die in battle and someone else would eat the first fruit. Has anyone here just become engaged to a woman but not yet married her? Well, you may go home and get married. You might die in battle and someone else would marry her. Okay. Then the officers will say, is anyone here afraid or worried? If you are, you may go home before you frighten anyone else. When the officers have finished speaking to their troops, they will appoint the unit's commander. Let me see. Do I have the... Okay, I'll fix that later. When the officers have finished speaking, okay. As you approach a town to attack it, you must first offer its people terms for peace. If they accept your terms and open the gates to you, then all the people inside will serve in forced labor. Okay. But if you refuse to make peace and prepare to fight, you must attack the town. When the Lord your God hands the town over to you, use your swords to kill every man in the town. But you may keep for yourselves all the women, children, livestock, and other plunder. You may enjoy the plunder from your enemies that the Lord has given you. But these instructions apply only to distant towns, not to towns of nations in the land that you will enter. Yes, I read that right. And those towns that the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, destroy every living thing. You must completely destroy the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Micanites, just as the Lord your God has commanded you. This will prevent the people of the land from teaching you to imitate their detestable customs and the worship of their gods, which would cause you to sin deeply against the Lord your God. When you're attacking a town and the war drags on, you must not cut down the trees with your axes. You may eat the fruit, but do not cut down the trees. Are the trees your enemies that you should attack them? This is just, it's so funny how it just goes into that. Don't attack the trees. They're not your enemies. You may only cut down the trees that you know are not valuable for food. Use them to make the equipment you need to attack the town until it falls. All right, chapter 21. When you're in the land the Lord your God is giving you, someone may be found murdered in a field, and you don't know who committed the murder. First 48 hours. In such a case, your elders and judges must measure the distance from the site of the crime to the nearby towns. When the nearest town has been determined, that town's elders must select from the herd a heifer that has never been trained or yoked to a plow. They must lead it down to a valley that has not been plowed or planted, that has a stream running through it. It's so specific. There in the valley, they must break the heifer's neck. Then the Levitical priest must step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister before him and to pronounce blessing in the Lord's name. They are to decide all legal and criminal cases. The elders of the town must wash their hands over the heifers whose neck was broken. Then they must say, "Our hands did not shed this person's blood, nor did we see it happen. O Lord, forgive your people, Israel, whom you've redeemed. Do not charge your people with the guilt of murdering an innocent person." Excuse me. Then they will be absolved of the guilt of this person's blood. By following these instructions, you'll do what is right in the Lord's sight and will cleanse the guilt of the murder from among the community. Suppose you go out to war against your enemies and the Lord your God hands them over to you and you take some of them as captives. And suppose you see among the captives a beautiful woman that you're attracted to her and you want to marry her. If this happens, you may take her to your home where she must shave her head and cut her nails. Yeah, but the thing is, once she shaves her head, I might not be attracted to her anymore. And cut her nails and change the clothes she was wearing when she was captured. She will stay in your home, but let her mourn for your father and mother for a full month. Then you may marry her and you will be her husband and she'll be your wife. But if you marry her and she does not please you, you must let her go free. You may not sell her or treat her as a slave, for you have humiliated her. Suppose a man has two wives, but he loves one and not the other, and both have given him sons. And suppose the firstborn son is the son of the wife he does not love. And by the way, just so you know, the Bible's never condoning having two wives. It's just giving rules to deal with what was going on in the culture. But you're not going to see where the Bible is condoning and God's encouraging polygamy. He's just saying, I'm dealing with you. Just like he gives laws for murder. He's like, if a murder happens, do this. He's not condoning murder. He's just giving laws because he knows people are wicked and evil and they're going to murder each other. So him talking about murder isn't him condoning it. It's him saying, I'm dealing with where you guys are at and I'm dealing with culture. So just side note there. When the man divides his inheritance, he must not give the larger inheritance to his younger son, the son of the wife he loves, as if it were the firstborn son. He must recognize the rights of his oldest son, the son of the wife he does not love, by giving him a double portion. He is the first son of his father's virility, and the rights of the firstborn belong to him. Suppose a man has a stubborn son and a rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother, even though they discipline him. In such case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court at the town gate. The parents must say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and refuses to obey. He's a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the town must stone him to death. Okay, I did not see that coming. I'm not going to lie, that shocked me there. I thought they were just going to take him to counseling or send him to boarding school. But no, all the men of the town must stone him to death. In this way, you'll purge the evil from among you and all the Israel will hear about it and be afraid. So all you rebellious sons, you better get your act together here. And you better be lucky you're not in the Old Testament. If someone has committed a crime worthy of death and is executed and hung on a tree, the body must not remain hanging from the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God. In this way, you'll prevent the defilement of the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession. All right, chapter 22. If you see your neighbor's ox or sheep or goat wandering away, and you do not ignore your responsibility, take it back to its owner. If its owner does not live nearby or you don't know who the owner is, take it to your place and keep it until the owners come looking for it. Then you must return it. Do the same if you find your neighbor's donkey, clothing, or anything else your neighbor loses. Don't ignore your responsibility. If you see that your neighbor's donkey or ox has collapsed on the road, do not look the other way. Go and help your neighbor and get it back on its feet. A woman must not put on men's clothing, and a man must not wear women's clothing. Anyone who does this is detestable in the sight of the Lord. I hope this isn't talking about skinny jeans. If you happen to find a bird's nest in a tree or on the ground, and there are young ones or eggs in it, and the mother sitting in the nest, do not take the mother with the young. You may take the young, but let the mother go, so that you may prosper and enjoy a long life. When you build a new house, you must build... Is there anything in the Bible about itchy noses when you read? When you build a new house, you must build a railing around the edge of its flat roof. That way, you'll not be considered guilty of murder if somebody falls from the roof. You must not plant any other crop between the rows of your vineyard. If you do, you're forbidden to use either the grapes or the vineyard of the other crop. You must not plow with an ox and a donkey harnessed together. You must not wear clothing made of wool and linen together. You must put four tassels on the hem of the cloak with which you cover yourselves on the front and the back and the sides. Suppose a man marries a woman, but after sleeping with her, he turns against her and publicly accuses her of shameful conduct, saying, "When I married this woman, I discovered she was not a virgin." Then the woman's father and mother must bring the proof of her virginity to the elders as they hold the court of the town gate. I have no clue how they're going to bring proof, but okay. Her father must say to them, "I gave my daughter to this man to be his wife, and now he's turned against her. He has accused her of shameful conduct, saying, 'I discovered that your daughter was not a virgin. But here's the proof of my daughter's virginity.' Then they must spread her bed sheet before the elders. The elders must take that man and punish him. They must also find him 100 pieces of silver, which he must pay to the woman's father because he publicly accused a virgin of Israel of shameful conduct. The woman will then remain the man's wife and must never divorce her." I don't want to know about this whole spreading the bedsheet thing. I don't want to know. I'm moving on. "But suppose the man's accusations are true and he can show that she was not a virgin. The woman must take the door of her father's home, and there the men of the town must stone her to death, for she has committed a disgraceful crime in Israel by promiscuously living in her parents' home. In this way, you'll purge the evil from among you. If a man is discovered committing adultery..." See, this is what happens when I try to read the chat and the Bible at the same time. You guys just keep... I keep getting my eyes drifting. "Both he and the woman must die. In this way, you'll purge Israel." Okay, so if you commit adultery, you both have to die. Suppose a man meets a young woman, a virgin, who is engaged to be married, and he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, you must take both of them to the gates of that town and stone them to death. The woman is guilty because she did not scream for help, and the man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you'll purge the evil from among you. But if a man meets the engaged woman out in the country and he rapes her, then only the man must die. Do nothing to the young woman because she's committed no crime worthy of death. She is innocent as a murder victim. Since the man raped her out in the country, it must be as assumed that she screamed because there was no one to rescue her. Suppose a man has intercourse with a young woman who is a virgin and is not engaged to be married. They are discovered. He must pay 50 pieces of silver. Then he must marry the young woman because he violated her, and they may never divorce for as long as he lives. A man must not marry his father's former wife, for this would violate his father." All right, here we go. Last chapter, chapter 23. What is happening right now, chat? What is happening? All right, children, cover your ears. "If a man's testicles are crushed or his penis is cut off, he may not be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. If a person is illegitimate by birth, neither he nor his descendants for 10 generations, he may be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. No Ammonite or Moabite or any other descendants of 10 generations may be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. These nations did not welcome you with food and water when you came out of Egypt. Instead, they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in distant Aram Naharaim to curse you. But the Lord your God refused to listen to Balaam. He turned and intended a curse into a blessing because the Lord your God loves you. As long as you live, you must never promote the welfare and prosperity of the Ammonites or Moabites. Do not detest the Edomites or the Egyptians, because the Edomites are your relatives that lived as foreigners among you, the Egyptians. The third generation of Edomites and Egyptians may enter the assembly of the Lord. When you go to war against your enemies, be sure to stay away from anything that is impure. Any man who becomes ceremonially defiled because of a nocturnal emission, must leave the camp and stay away all day. Toward evening, he must bathe himself, and sunset, he must return to camp. You must have a designated area around the camp where you can go relieve yourself. Each of you must have a spade as part of your equipment. Whenever you relieve yourself, dig a hole with the spade and cover the excrement. Okay. The camp must be holy, for the Lord your God moves around in your camp to protect you and defeat your enemies. He must not see any shameful thing among you, or he'll turn away from you. If slaves should escape from their masters and take refuge with you, you must not hand them over to their masters. I can't, guys. I'm sorry. Let them live among you in the town they choose, and don't oppress them. No Israelites, whether man or woman, may become a temple prostitute. When you bring an offering to fulfill a vow, you must not bring the house of the Lord your God any offering from the earnings of a prostitute, whether man or woman, for both are detestable to the Lord your God. Do not charge interest on loans you make to a fellow Israelite, whether you loan money or food or anything else. You may charge interest to foreigners, but you may not charge interest to Israelites, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you do in the land you're about to enter and occupy. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling the promise whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you'll be guilty of sin. However, it is not a sin to refrain from making a vow. But once you voluntarily made a vow, aka don't be a flake, be careful to fulfill the promise of the Lord your God. When you enter your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes, but you must not carry any away in a basket. And when you enter your neighbor's field of grain, you must not pluck the heads of grain with your hand, but you must not harvest it with a sickle. And the next thing we're going to talk about is when a man marries a woman and she doesn't please him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible's not boring. We are finished with day number 14. Thank you all very much. Those were some funny moments here today. And, there is coming a time we're going to have to get to Song of Solomon, which I will make sure that viewer discretion is advised when that point comes. But I appreciate all you guys being here. Today has been an awesome day. And, the Bible is very interesting, to say the least. We're doing this every single day at 2 o'clock. Also, very important, tonight at 6 p.m., I have a video coming out on my videos tab, which I have not uploaded video in like almost 3 weeks because we've been live every single day and live streaming and all that stuff. But I haven't uploaded a video. I'm uploading a testimony video today of something very cool that happened to me the other day that was supernatural and undeniable that God is real once you hear the story. Anyways, then tomorrow I have a teaching video coming out, and then Sunday I have another video coming out. So we have videos for the next 3 days, plus we're live every day at 2 o'clock, plus we have a Monday night teaching Monday night. Plus, we have a Tuesday night podcast. It's going to be very interesting. And we're live every day at 2 o'clock. Did I already say that like 20 times? I think I did. I love how awkward Isaiah gets. When it's awkward, I'm just going to bobblehead. That's going to be my new thing. He's just going to read when it's awkward. I was literally blushing when it talked about the man being crushed. I'm so glad you guys are sticking around. Stay strong. I know today is a holiday. Many people are out on dates and, going off and doing things. I didn't mean it like that. I did not mean it like that. I just meant people are off doing stuff like on Valentine's Day. They're off doing dates and stuff at night and dinners. It's late for some people. Okay. Anyway, I love you all very much. I appreciate you guys. Make sure you partner with us. The links to partner are there. They're down below. Become a monthly partner. Every Thursday at 1 p.m. we have a prayer call. We're very busy right now, guys. It's great. It's great stuff. Thank you for praying for Alyssa. She's recovering well. We really appreciate you guys' prayer. For those of you that don't know, she had major nose surgery. Long story short, she broke her nose in high school, has had breathing issues ever since, and she had to get a bunch of stuff done. So they re-broke her nose and straightened it because it's crooked, and they did other stuff and helped it and all that. So she's going to be able to breathe again, finally. Praise the Lord. It's good to breathe. It's very nice. When you can breathe out of your nose, it's just a great thing. It's a great thing. You're the best. Thank you so much. Happy birthday. Thank you. So, yes. So, she is recovering. But I am going to be going and taking my daughters out on a little date here soon. So, I have to leave very soon. So, I'm not going to stay on here long. I'll stay on here for another 1 minute. You did great. Thank you. You know, Tanya, the hard part about reading these is, like, you read stuff you're just not used to reading. Like, I'm not used to reading ceremonially unclean 40 times. So you just see all these words that you just never see matched up together. But it'll get easier as it goes, right? I think the hardest books are Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It just gets easier after this. So I think the hardest reading parts are behind us. I think so. Pretty sure. We'll see. You're watching from France. Thank you for being here. Yeah, they had to break her nose again. You know, the doctor called me and was like, it was very hard to break. He's like, I had my whole body weight on her nose, pushing as hard as I could to try to re-break it. And he's like, it was so stubborn, it would not break, but they finally broke it. I'm like, well, okay. I never thought I would say, thanks, doctor, for breaking my wife's nose. But here we are. Leviticus was hard. And I think I did it in 2 days, didn't I? Wasn't it 2 days? Oh, man, I just pushed through that. You're learning. I'm glad. Imagine reading the Passion Translation. The video would be taken down for sure. Sanctuary shekels. Sanctuary shekels. My wife's doing good. Thank you. All right. I love you guys so much. I appreciate you. I'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We kind of see each other every day now, which is cool. So I'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock for the reading. And have a great day. Love you guys. I'm going to take my daughters on a little date, a little daddy-daughter date. So I'm leaving. Love you guys. Bye. Have a great day. Thanks for partnering, supporting, all that stuff. Yeah, the New Testament's going to be vacation. It's going to feel like vacation. So
thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.